that they were going to make a $130 million investment in four new, what they call, super ovens. And they would either put them in the Chicago bakery or they would put them in Salinas, Mexico. But they told us that, you know, in order for them just to consider putting them in the bakery, not to consider, man, you putting them in the bakery, that we had to come up with $46 million in concessions in perpetuity every year. That was just ludicrous. You know, that would have slashed what the employees' wages and benefit package was by 60%. And we know that they couldn't make it off of 60% reduction in wages. So that's how it all started. And I think you were informing your members of the demographics of the bargaining unit. And the demographics of the bargaining unit is that well over 90% of the bargaining unit is over 40 years of age, and over 68% are minorities. African-American and Latino, and we think that, actually, we know that that's why Nabisco chose to downsize this particular facility.
So they're treating this facility, the Chicago plant, differently than other facilities?
Oh, absolutely. They've made similar investments in Richmond, Virginia, and Fairline, New Jersey, and did not ask the employees to contribute to the investment.
So tell us a little bit, Jethro, about the history of Nabisco on the southwest side of Chicago.
Well, we've had a bargaining relationship with that particular bakery for well over 50 years, had a great relationship with Nabisco. Nabisco was one of the best employers prior to Mondelez taking them over. You know, Mondelez was a spinoff of Kraft, and unfortunately that Kraft decided to load Mondelez with debt, and we've had problems with Mondelez ever since then. In that bakery, we make the iconic brands, Oreos, you know, Ritz crackers, premium crackers, and a lot of other products from Nabisco.
Let me ask you, I'm going to ask you two questions here, but the first part is just to say again, in terms of percent, how big a cut that is that the company was demanding from the workers in Chicago?
It's 60%. That's conservative, John. That's a conservative estimate of ours. That would have been a 60% cut. And, you know, that's really in stark contrast. You got to get this now. The CEO of Nabisco averages about $20 million a year. $20 million a year. And over the last 8 years, she's earned over $165 million. So check this out. She could have financed that investment and still took home $4 million a year, right? And that does not include her dividend. That does not include her pension. You'll be seeing us releasing her pension information really soon, maybe even later tonight or early tomorrow. They've put $32 million in her pension fund for her. So this is ridiculous. This is really, really ridiculous. They shouldn't be pitting us against Mexican workers. That is ridiculous.
How much do those workers in Mexico get paid?
The minimum wage in Mexico, if I remember correctly, is $4.58. And we've been seeking information, and we'll do this information. We have a what's called a ULP, an unfair labor practice charge against the company for not giving us the information that we do on what they're paying those employees down there. And we want a contract because the problem, you know, John, this is the result of NAFTA. They're able to run and hide in Mexico and then sell product in the United States because of NAFTA. And according to NAFTA, The employees down there have to be able to freely associate with the union, and that's not what's happening in Mexico. So we're trying to get information about that. Now, what we're going to be doing in America, and we're starting in the city of Chicago, and we're going to move to some of the larger cities across the country, is we're going to start pushing country of origin labeling. We're going to let people know, you know, where the product is coming from, and we think a smart consumer will be a wise consumer. We're going to stop buying product from countries that we've lost jobs to.
So what is the, Jethro, what is the explanation that the company gives for this move?
John, I'm glad you asked that question. Now, if you hear crickets, then you'll know what the explanation is. We have none. So I guess you can infer that they asked us to give them $46 million. Maybe it was financial. But this is crazy. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Well, what kind of profit is Mondelez making on their investments at this point in history?
Oh, they're making billions and billions of dollars of profits. But, you know, it looks like that they're, you know, a takeover prospect or they're looking to be sold because they're having problems in Europe. They just sold their beverage business. And it looks like their Philadelphia cheese business and the grocery business is Europe is up for sale. So it looks like that they're trying to make themselves attractive to a seller, and that's part of the issue here.
So they're
attractive to a buyer.
Oh, so they're going to save money by shipping jobs to Mexico, make more profit and compensation for their CEO. Does that mean they're going to lower the price on their products for the consumers?
Oh, no. The price of the product will probably go up. And unfortunately for the workers in Mexico, they probably wouldn't be able to afford to even buy the products that they make.
Now, we know the union's fighting back. You've told us some of the pieces of that, but we've also been informed by looking at the news stories that there have been a legal proceeding or several undertaken. Can you tell us some more about that?
Yeah, I can tell you. Sure. We've done several things. So our position, and we have a strong position, that the transfer of work to Mexico is in violation of the contract. We filed a grievance on that, and the company is slow walking that grievance through the process. We've also filed grievances on the fact that the company is using subcontracting labor in the plant, and that's a violation of the contract, and we filed several grievances on that. And they're slow walking those grievances and refusing to agree to arbitrate them in an expeditious manner. So what we did was we went into federal court and we filed a lawsuit to enjoin the company to have the court to invoke arbitration upon the company, and that's proceeding. We've also filed an unfair labor practice on them, too, for similar reasons, and because they haven't provided us with the information we need to process the grievances, which is a violation of the National Labor Relations Act. So you'll know we've also filed our members, employees of Nabisco there on South Chesney in Chicago, about 450 of them have filed separate EEOC complaints that we have consolidated, and we're moving that through the process too. Age and race discrimination, it's the only explanation for what they've done.
So if any listeners don't know, EEOC stands for Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, just so everybody's...
That is correct, and we filed that here. We've actually filed it in Chicago.
Well, how about, besides the union, how about the neighborhood where the plant's located? How about the city of Chicago? Is there fight back happening there too?
Absolutely. We've gained enormous support from the labor community. The alderman of the ward that the plant is in is one of our biggest supporters. He's been at our rallies. He's part of that video. You'll see him in that video. We're getting support from State Senator Jackie Collins and some of the U.S. representatives. It looks like, John, we're going to probably have a resolution from the City Council of Chicago to not buy Nabisco products that's coming from Mexico. So we're looking to do that. We're looking to get the mayor involved in it. We had a vigil this past Sunday night that was well attended by our members from Nabisco and the labor committee, in support of what we're doing to fight for American jobs.
Tell us a little bit, Jethro, about the impact on the neighborhoods surrounding the plant, on the families of the workers. I know that there was some testimony at the rally last night, the vigil last night, some of it which appeared on the news. Can you tell us a little bit about what the impact will be on the
sure.
workers'
so
families?
Let me just start off by telling you, and you probably hear this all the time, that the city of Chicago has supported Nabisco back in the 90s, gave them $90 million in tax subsidies. And this is going to have a devastating effect on the community. In Illinois alone, we've probably lost $20 billion from offshoring. And what happens is that we end up putting folks on some type of public assistance. They get unemployment benefits. They really tax the system. And most of those folks, they're right there in that area. So we're going to have a shrinking tax base. And all of the multiple effects that we have, the domino effects that we have from that.
And what is, just to put this in context too, what is the timeline as far as when the company's talking about laying people off? And, you know, what are we looking at as far as the urgency of all this stuff?
Well, that's a great question. They gave a 60-day notice a little over a month ago. So the first layoffs, about 277 of our members got what they call pink slips. that will effectively lay them off on March 21st. So that's the timeline for the first round of cutbacks. They haven't announced any other rounds of cutbacks since then.
So most of us are consumers, and most of us like to buy stuff that tastes good. So what can we do as far as our buying practices that makes a difference in this whole situation?
So we're going to stop. We're going to become smart consumers, right? We're going to stop buying foreign-made products, especially products from the Nabisco that comes out of Mexico. So we're going to start our country of origin labeling campaign real soon. I don't want to get out in front of that, but I think if you look at some of the Nabisco products and you see a MM on them, then you'll know they come out of Mexico. And we're telling our consumers to be smart consumers and start looking at the labels and make sure that we don't buy products that's coming out of Mexico. But we'll get that campaign started, I think, probably in the next week or so.
Okay, so folks, it's kind of like the VIN on a car, right? You want to look for that number that identifies the product and start being educated about what the different letters and numbers mean. Now, at this point, the union's in negotiations with Nabisco, and you're the chair for the union side in those negotiations. I realize there's things you can and cannot talk about in that type of situation, but given that we also have a Nabisco plant right here in Portland, can you give us some picture of the maybe the atmosphere or the prospects for that negotiation?
Well, I'd just like to mention our committee person's name from Portland. His name is Cameron Taylor. He's doing a great job at the table with us. Yeah, I don't want to get into any details. We're into our second week of bargaining, and it's slow right now, John. That's not unusual in bargaining. We're going to keep the faith, and we're going to keep plugging away and hope that we can come to a settlement here. But let me tell you, if we don't come to a settlement, we're going to ratchet up the pressure on Nabisco. It's not going to stop. So I tell you, they can run, but they cannot hide. We will catch them, and we're going to bring justice to those workers in Chicago, and we're going to fight for those jobs. So we're fighting for American jobs. And remember, fightforamericanjobs.org. I also want to tell you about our other websites and for the Local 300. That's the local there in Chicago. You can catch them on Twitter, BCTGM_Nabisco, and then your Facebook is BCTGM Local 300.
Nabisco, the plant in Chicago, has actually provided good middle-income union jobs with decent wages, benefits, retirement for generations, and particularly for the whole black population that moved up from the South in the from the time of the First World War. That whole generational employment at Nabisco has really built the black community in the Southwest Chicago. This would have a devastating impact on that community, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, a devastating impact. John, as you know, that during the World War II, we had a lot of migration of African Americans from the southern states to the northern states to work in the factories. And, you know, some of our senior folks, seniority would date back to the 50s and 60s when we started migrating up. And you're absolutely right. That was the path to a middle-class life for African-Americans, Latinos, and whites. You know, it was, we could get a high school education and go into the factories and make a decent living, get a pension, raise our children, send them off to college, they'll do better than we do. That dream is slowly slipping away because of the conduct and the greed of companies like Nabisco, the greed of CEOs like Irene Rosenfeld. It's a damn shame to be so greedy. You know, it's amazing, the greed of folks. They don't care about the suffering of others as long as they can live in opulence and excess.
We want to thank you. We want to thank all the sisters and brothers at Nabisco, everybody in this struggle, because you're fighting for us. Not only for yourselves, you're fighting for us. We know that our jobs could be next. In many cases, already happened to a lot of people, as you say, throughout the Midwest, and not just the Midwest, throughout the country. And by the way, if people, if they get away with this in the U.S., then in a little bit, maybe next decade, they'll be doing the same thing in Mexico, moving those jobs someplace else from there. So we know it's not just this time and this place. It's a struggle for everybody and throughout the working class. So thank you very much for your fight. We wish you much success, and we're hoping people will get connected with you and be in support.
This Tuesday at 8 a.m. on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, a supporter of Hillary Clinton, Moses Ross, and a supporter of Bernie Sanders, Keisha Thomas, will join us and discuss their candidates' ideas. That's this Tuesday at 8 a.m. on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show on KBOO, Portland.
Cable Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 5th through March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, and two films will show at the Hollywood Theater. The five-week-long festival of feature and documentary films come from all over the African continent and include Thursday evening documentary screenings, Family Film Day, and Women Filmmakers Week, held during the first week of March in celebration of Women's History Month. Again, that's 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, playing Thursday through Saturday until March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street, in the Arts and Humanities Building in Room 104. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, this is Labor Radio. I'm Lane Ponce, your co-host with...
Michael Morrow. The other co-host.
And we have two very exciting guest speakers this evening. We have their